welcome to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend Lauren.
Hello.
And my friend Paul.
Hello.
How are you both?
Yeah, good. Enjoying the sunshine.
It's amazing.
Oh, this weather is... It's really nice, isn't it?
We should have just had a podcast about the weather.
The weather.
That would be good. Yeah. I can speak very confidently about how much I like the weather.
You've been coping in it, though. You've been coping.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was snowing 2 weeks ago, so this is kind of quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't think about it long term, but it's quite nice.
There was a moment yesterday where we were going to bulk order AC units. So yeah, I think coping probably a stretch, but I do love it, but just when you're too hot and you're trying to do anything.
Yes. It's fine at the weekend when you have nothing to do. During the week, I do find that I'm quite tempted to take a nap at my desk.
It is quite depressing looking out at anyone that's outside enjoying it as well.
Or going on the underground. That's not that fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do that on Friday.
Absolutely unacceptable. But it's been a big week in news. We won't be touching on it. We've had quite a few. It's like 2018 is trying to start to rival 2016 and the celebrity deaths. That's all happened.
I don't know
who died this week?
No, I do know who died, but I don't think there's going to be the kind of similar mural that Bowie had for Del Winton. If I had my way, he would get it. Someone had a go at me at work because I was looking at pictures of Dale Winton's life. And I was like, Dale Winton was massive when we were younger. It was like such a supermarket sweep was amazing.
He sat around for 10 years, I found out. I didn't know that.
How crazy is that? As a concept, imagine pitching that as a concept as well.
What we'll do, you run around the supermarket, bung any old shit in your trolley, and hidden along the way, there'll be some inflatable bananas with cash prizes.
Mm. Well, I'll stop you right there.
Sold. I'll buy you.
Who's providing all the food? Like, don't worry about that.
Well, a friend pointed out yesterday, I don't think any of the papers ran with the headline, Supermarket Weep.
Oh,
which would have been really
a
good.
A real missed opportunity there.
So, for the funeral, if anyone's listening,
That's good for the funeral, because there'll be some mourners.
Yeah.
Although,
written in the flowers? Is that what you're going to have for that?
Out of inflatables. Inflatable flowers.
Inflatables.
Is Cilla Black still alive?
No.
Because he didn't go to her funeral from depression. Yeah, I remember it now.
Exactly. If she was alive, she'd probably be going. And I'm sure...
That's when Supermarket Weep would have really come into its own.
In fact, so would Keith Chegwin, and he's gone. Mm. So
when did Cheggers go?
This year. So this year is the year of like the slightly strange celebrity death. If 2016 was like your... what was it? Yeah, Prince, Bowie, Alan Rickman, sort of... icons of
A-list.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
This year it's
television Z-list.
Dale Winton and Mini Me.
Yeah.
The year of people dying, you go, oh gosh, remember them? it's not one way like, oh, I'm going to go and listen to all of their back catalogue again. Yeah. I don't think many people are like, oh, this really invigorates me to watch 10 years of Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah.
But if they put it on Netflix, I will watch it.
Lend me a highlights DVD and I'll have it on in the background.
Mm.
What else did he present apart from Supermarket?
Must have done something.
Petsman Prizes.
Oh, I remember Petsman Prizes.
Petsman Prizes. I completely forgotten about
does
that.
Does what it says on the tin, that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He liked things like that.
Any more?
Just leave it there.
I think he was just kind of around, wasn't he?
Yeah.
If there's an award ceremony, like the Brits, I imagine at some point he gave out a Brit Award.
Pride of Britain.
Yes,
that
Pride
sort
of Britain.
Of thing.
Yeah. He was pretty great, but anyway. R.I.P. Dale.
Yeah,
hashtag Supermarket Weep.
Mm.
Anyway, we must go on with some other news this week, and there's only one way to do that, and that's with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. So this has been one of those weeks where I see a word in like all the headlines, and I'm like, I've got no idea what that could mean. I'll catch up on that when we do the podcast. Like, it could be a company that's like crumbling, or... I don't know, like some sort of like a new spaceship that we've just launched. And then I was like, by the end of the week, I was like, this sounds political because I just started seeing.
I like that. I like the idea that you read headlines and you go, I'll save that for another time.
It's like, it doesn't look
not going to Google that or read the article underneath the headline, explains what's going on.
Read the article.
No. I'll just save that word.
Just let the words come in by osmosis, you might know.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Yeah, and then it turns out it's actually, it's not very sort of exciting or mystical at all.
So look forward to this segment on it.
It's not even a spaceship.
So do we know what Windrush, where the word Windrush comes from?
It's the docks that it came into, the boat and all the docks were called Windrush. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, but I
was
think
it the first boat?
Yeah, it was a reference to the ship HMT Empire Windrush, which arrived in Essex in 1948, carrying 492 passengers from Jamaica. So that is where the term Windrush is coming, and that is what we're going to be talking about on this week's episode. So, what's been going on in the news?
So, essentially, it comes back to after the war, the government invited a lot of people from the West Indies to come over to the UK. Mm. And so that boat was the first one that came over, full of immigrants moving. And then there was their families obviously came with them and they've set up shop.
But the crucial issue being back in the day in 1948, you didn't travel with your own passport, you travelled affiliated to your parents' passport.
Yeah.
So second generation has grown up, they're now becoming displaced by changes in immigration law and whether or not they're actually real British citizens and what rights they have.
A lot of them didn't either think to apply for passports because they just came over with their parents, and also the immigration papers that you got initially seemed to be way less intense back in 1948. So essentially you just got a landing card when you arrived with your name written on it. And a lot of these have been subsequently destroyed by the government, because they just didn't think they were that important. I think a lot of them were just bits, scraps of paper essentially written on them. So now that in 20...
it's good to know that even back then the government had its head screwed on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we just pop everyone's names on a post-it?
Yeah.
Put them in a jiffy bag.
Just the back of a receipt.
Yeah.
I owe you citizenship.
Yeah.
Let's check in later. Let's just check
cash
in.
Cash in.
Check in a few years' time.
In 60 years, we'll worry about that then.
Yeah, so these people were... because they were welcomed over to come and rebuild Britain.
Mm.
So this was sort of, they very much sort of come, like after the Second World War, they were sort of doing their bit as citizens of the British Commonwealth and sort of coming to work in our health services. And
That's the other bit, I think, from a policy perspective, very much the bit that I'll be adding today.
policy.
Is that they were from colonies which had never sought independence, so really had always remained being governed by Britain.
Okay.
Hmm.
Whereas had they been from colonies that had become independent, there might be more of a contest around where they are actually citizens of.
Right. And so... So what's happened, however long since, so I guess 40 years later, is the Tories are back in power.
Yeah, so since about 2010, I mean, it was also before that when Theresa May was in the Home Office.
Yeah.
It was the tightening of regulations, which mean that now the NHS or employers, doctors need citizenship papers from people.
Mm.
And so now these people who didn't bother applying for passports or weren't told that they needed to have gone and said, well, I don't have it. They're like, well, do you have any documentation to say that you kind of came on the Windrush or of that generation? And these papers have been destroyed. So they have no actual way of proving that they are who they said they are.
Other than being real living people.
Exactly.
And who've lived there their whole lives.
Yeah. Which you think is enough. But because they've tightened the laws, apparently not so much anymore.
So the destroying of like the post-it notes with the IOUs, that was in 2009, 2010, and that's being debated because they're getting obviously into the weeds on was it under Labour 2009 or was it the Tories 2010, because that's important political ammo.
Yeah, that's just crucial for whether May can bat this back.
Is it still fully on her? But that's the icing on the cake if that bit happened. Because that is just a political bungle. We don't think there was any malice, or do we think that? I imagine there's a conspiracy theory side that this would have been thought about. This, do we destroy all these documents?
Probably the assumption is a passport is so necessary these days. To open bank accounts or to have many things in your life, the assumption would be, or by the second generation, that anyone who would have only had those papers would have enough of an established life here to actually be recognised in another way.
Right.
I think it's something which there probably was a lack of forethought. There was probably some thought in it, and yeah, I agree that it's, you'd expect kind of the majority of people to have passports now. Thinking about it, they might have, if they were really thinking about it at the time, gone, this is a problem that is going to come back, so maybe we should just keep these on records, or, particularly while these people are alive.
Or before we destroy them, should we check everyone's got passports? Yes.
Just contact people. Do a sample test. Contact like 100 people and say, have you got your passport sorted yet? Yeah. But this will be argued about over sort of the next week about who destroyed it. But I think the real thing that's getting that's leading to Emily Thornberry was on the Andrew Marr show, no relation to Nigel Thornberry.
Yes. Every time I hear Emily Thornberry, I imagine a small child with frizzy hair. It's Eliza Thornberry living in a camper van, travelling around.
She's all grown up and she's in the shadow cabinet.
She done well.
Yes,
she has. Nigel would be proud. But, so she's calling for Amber Rudd to resign, and this, however, is over the policy that was introduced in 2012 under our Prime Minister, where if it was not that long ago, but I think it was around this time. Do you remember when Theresa May had all those vans that said,
go home,
or face arrest?
Mm.
Around that same time, this is when...
I mean, that's incredibly punchy that she's made it to Prime Minister.
Yes.
When she's responsible for the go-home vans.
Yeah, isn't that mad?
And she was having a week off. Everyone thought, wow, it's going okay for her.
It's kind of crazy. A lot of stuff doesn't make sense. I mean, it shows how much of... it was just like how ridiculous the situation was around Brexit, that Theresa May was able to angle and use it in, and stuff like that was just like, oh yeah, well, she's got this in the past, but give her a go, because it's fine, because there wasn't that many options.
Mm.
Otherwise, if she had a long run at it, I don't think she probably would be in the position she is now. There's lots of stuff on her record which is like not exactly what you want for Prime Minister, that usually it would get farmed out to other people to do on her behalf. And essentially, she's trying to use Amber Rudd as a bit of a human shield now, which is kind of like... Oh.
It's not really how it works, because... Yeah, Amber Rudd is delivering on Theresa May's policy, effectively.
Hmm.
Mm.
But the policy was in 2012 that basically, I think the phrase, it was like, I can't remember, it was like uncomfortably inhospitable, where they'd make life harder and harder for illegal immigrants in this country and start turning off access to the NHS.
Mm.
What's the Baroness that we discussed?
Baroness Worsley.
Worsley. So she's written something where she's essentially come out this week saying they made the targets absolutely fixed for what they wanted immigration to get to.
Yeah.
We didn't then achieve that over 10 years of these measures of kind of tightening the knot to try and squeeze them out. And yet this is what makes it look like it might have some malice to it. It might have been more deliberate.
Yeah.
Because now they're saying, well, we did all those measures and we didn't hit the targets, and we've still got those targets. They're immovable. We're sticking with those. So let's do something really drastic. And that's where it sort of points back to May, as if she may have made some sort of sweeping statement here.
And
both Worsley and Clegg have kind of said that sort of in those early years when Cameron got in on that promise of like, whatever the figure it was, but bringing net immigration.
He bloody loves a promise, doesn't he, David Cameron?
he does.
Quite rare for him to follow him through anything other than letting people have a referendum and fucking a pig. I'll let you have a referendum. That's the key thing, don't we, about the result. You got your referendum, though, I did promise you that. I'm off to fucking have sex with Alex James in my cheese shed at the bottom of my garden.
Alex James, not a pig.
Yes, yeah. Alex James would like to clarify. Okay.
Clarify.
Just avoid libel, Alex James, not a pig.
Not by the pig.
Not a pig named Alex James.
Yes. I would love it if he had a pig named Alex James at the bottom of his garden.
Well, two pigs, Alex and James.
Yes.
He's more cheese, though, isn't he?
He is more cheese.
Yeah, shame.
Mm. Yeah, he probably calls the pig Damon.
And he keeps him at his old barn.
Oh wow.
A bad dad blur joke.
Thank you. I've been out in the sun for 3 days straight.
So both Worsley and Clegg have come out and said, under those early years of under Cameron and Osborne, they were obsessed with these numbers, and sort of it was all very much about hitting those targets.
Not like Nick Clegg to be trying to get his own back now. Spending years in the coalition being shat on by the Tories is like, all right, yeah, I suppose now I'll just come back at Cameron.
Just another reminder that he let it all happen and could have walked out at any point.
It would have all crumbled.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I hear Nick Clegg's name, it's similar to when I hear Dale Winton's name. in terms of like, oh yeah, Nick Clegg. Nick Clegg was massive at one point.
Yeah, Cleggmania.
Cleggmania.
But do you think fondly of him, or do you still remember?
Don't know how I feel about Nick Clegg, to be honest.
I can't really even picture him. He wore a yellow tie, didn't he? He's the yellow team.
He had like a brushy hair. He had like a toilet brush haircut or something.
Yes. Yeah, someone who I don't think was malicious. I don't think he had much of a spine. But just kind of was there, wasn't he, really? I suppose I need someone kind of more educated than myself to write a book about Nick Clegg for me to know how I feel about Nick Clegg. Mm. Okay. I just don't know if I know enough about him, really.
If you know anything about Nick Clegg listening, and or even if you are Nick Clegg and are listening, then feel free to...
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah, if you're at a loose end, Nick, come on the
podcast. That would be a very special guest.
My Paxman moment.
You grilling a man you don't know a huge amount about. So, Nick... Were you good?
Yeah.
Were Nick, you good? What was Teresa really like?
Oh, yeah, Nick, you were the one with the yellow tie.
What's your favourite shade of yellow? Mustard or...
Lemon.
Lemon.
Oh, lemon. I go lemon.
The big debate. So this policy got introduced in 2012, and like anything, takes a while to sort of actually play its way out. And so the Guardian has had this breakthrough... piece of investigative journalism where they've actually loads of people started to now be affected by this over the last 6 months. People are being deported, people are being arrested, people are losing access to the NHS, and these all people who came over to the UK from the Caribbean nations,
including some NHS nurses, which is a real like. In terms of bad publicity for the government, that is very bad.
Well, I think it's just because we've been incredibly vocal about what we need in the NHS, which is staffing.
Yes.
So let's not come up with policies which effectively wipe out entire tiers of the staff.
Not only can you not work, but also you're not getting access to it yourself. As if just like removing people's care is a way of like saving the NHS.
Yeah, what NHS? What NHS? There's no NHS here.
Yeah.
It's behind a big door.
I know it was because I've worked in it for the last 25 years.
Yeah. Can I still come into work? No, you can't. Okay, what do you need more of?
Can I come
nurses?
In as a patient? No.
No.
Can I come in as a worker? No. Now get out of my sight.
Yeah. Okay, well, I suppose that's fine, and I definitely won't contact The Guardian then.
Exactly. So, yeah, so this is affecting anyone who came over from one of the Caribbean countries that make up the British Commonwealth between 1948 and 1971. So it's a very large group of people that this is.
What sort of number?
I believe it's around... 500,000.
Oh, wow.
There are currently 500,000 people living in the UK who were born in a Commonwealth country and arrived before.
So is that 500,000 that came over and then, say, each of them has had two kids? So really we're talking about 2 million?
No.
Half it.
I'm saying right now there are 500,000, so...
So that's people that came over and second generation,
their
children. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So this affects a lot. I mean, that's a big old chunk of the country.
Mm.
Yeah. And if they mainly came to London, if they landed in Essex, then that's a 12th of London.
A 12th of London. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Is that right? About 6 million in London.
I think it's nearly... I think it's like... I was reading this recently, actually. I think it's like 7.8 million in London now.
About a tenth of London, then.
Yeah. Still, though, that's like... That's a big old chunk.
This is awful. And as we were saying, before that we started recording... It was looking all right for May. It looked like she might make it to the end of the year. Cause basically,
no news is good news.
Yeah, it was all going terribly. Then the Skripal like near murder thing happened. She looked all right. All her mates rallied around her, and she looked like a strong UK leader, squaring up to Russia. And then, yeah, fuck it, I'll throw a few bombs at Syria as well. Nation state leader. All she needed to do, wait for the royal wedding, everyone will be happy as Larry, then it's barbecue weather, she's made it till September.
Yeah.
But no, someone's gone and found this thing that she's introduced from 5 years ago, six years ago.
You're absolutely right, I forgot about the royal wedding. If she'd only made it to May.
Just so close.
The baby's due on Monday.
Oh no.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. So literally if she'd made it one more week, we'd have been consumed with bloody Paddington Lido wing. And... then that's just on rolling down to...
The bloody Guardian couldn't let her have it till 1 week.
Couldn't let her have a moment's peace to enjoy the weekend in the sunshine.
Those investigative journalists trying to trip her up at every avenue.
Yeah, because this won't go away, and it shouldn't go away, because this is one of the worst things. Like,
I think that might be your Paxman moment.
Yes.
It won't go away, and it shouldn't go away.
I like that. I want that as my ringtone.
I love May on as well.
But May and Clegg.
May and Clegg. And
May, Rudd, Clegg.
They're not Lauren. I'm not giving them a mini Magnum each before the episode.
Yes.
They'll get nothing.
Other ice creams are available, but not as good.
They'll get what they're given. But so, this is coming at the same time that I'm reading articles about the 50th anniversary of the Enoch Powell Rivers of Blood speech. And 50 years on.
How are you going to be celebrating it, by the way?
Can someone remind me of the Rivers of Blood birthday?
Enoch Powell made a speech sort of predicting that immigration would be sort of the end of our country mass immigration. And it's a misquote. He actually never used the phrase Rivers of Blood. Fun fact.
Oh, what did he say?
The one fun fact about stream. Enoch Powell. I don't know, it was a quote of a Latin thing that I'm not smart enough to know about.
Fair enough.
But, so 50 years on, and so this was a speech that then led, Enoch Powell got fired from the Shelley cabinet, but Edward Heath then got into power and then put an end in 1971 to the mass immigration that was happening in the UK. And so 50 years on from that speech, it feels like this country still very much got a race problem, and at a government leadership level, it always seems to be.
I remember Amber Rudd gave a speech last year, and it was dubbed the Rivers of Rudd speech by some of the newspapers, drawing the comparisons between it and how attitude towards immigration hasn't really progressed that much in the last 50 years.
Or it's just gone full circle.
Difficult, isn't it?
Obviously,
not sure we ever got to a point where we were like, yeah, welcome.
Mm.
I guess you could argue under Labour, when I think there was a period under Labour where sort of more than 2 million people moved to the UK under the EU immigration policy. But that's probably what led to the Tories getting to power on a manifesto in 2010 of cutting the numbers down, because people were upset about the scale that rose to, but now we've got to the point where it's leading to diabolical scenarios like this, or the worst case scenario has happened this time.
Yeah. I think what you don't do in that scenario, though, it's all very well to kind of stop more people coming in, or to start to try and regulate it in a slightly more intensive way. What you don't do is go back to the people who've been here for 50 years and go, well, let's start there.
Yeah, particularly when you
removal of the rights starts
when you've really invited them. It's not as if just allowing it. It's like you've invited people to come over. Yeah. You could say that in the recent history of Britain was one of the most open immigration policies.
Yeah,
of actively inviting people from the colonies to come here. Yeah. And you go, oh no, now 50 years on. Because
no,
of kind of short-term policies which are based
on
stats.
You rebuilt the economy, post-war, we're out of post-war now.
Yeah, exactly.
You can come back. If there's World War III, we'll probably let you back then.
Yeah, you know, once we've fully privatised the health service and then in 50 years' time started a new one, welcome back then, help us rebuild.
But so Amber Rudd has admitted that strategy and planning has eclipsed actually thinking about the individual.
Did you see the way she said it, though? In terms of, I've never seen someone dodge a personal pronoun so, ridiculously as Amber Rudd, who won't take any form of, personal responsibility.
Yeah.
She just describes how she goes, I have viewed this department doing this or whatever. I think this about the policies that have been done. It's like, well, you implemented those fucking policies.
Mm.
You've got to take some form of it. I understand she's getting it every angle. And Theresa May is always like, oh, we're looking into this, and you go, no, these are things that you personally wanted to put through.
Yeah.
It's like often things happen when you, sometimes, dare I say, I would pity Theresa May slightly when she has to take the hit for a lot of policies which she didn't have direct cause to implement them. But this is certainly something which has come in-house from her.
Yeah, totally.
And you go, come on, if you're going to own anything, you've got to own this. You're in the Home Office for 4 years or whatever.
And this is why part of me thinks this is the most likely story that's happened in the 2 years of the May fiasco that would lead to her having to go, because this is so, at an ethical level, terrible.
Mm.
And it was her. This is her policy that she launched, did a lot of press and promo around in 2012. And then not only that, is being delivered and the chickens have come home to roost while she's Prime Minister.
a thing about it, though, I think what's difficult for those who, on the far right of the Tory party, and you've got kind of the Jacob Rees-Mogg brigade, mm. it's going to be difficult for them to try and use this as a thing to usurp them, because immigration is a thing which is, like, absolutely at the core of the values that they're trying to push.
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to come for Theresa May for something like this, because it's an error which kind of is slightly in line with things which they're pushing for.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Theresa May will go from it. I'll be kind of surprised if Amber Rudd doesn't at least get moved around when they reshuffle the cabinet.
Another reshuffle.
Another reshuffle. They love shuffling. It's yeah.
Never not shuffling.
Never not shuffling.
We're running out of time on this issue, but I feel like we kind of got somewhere in knowing what the whole Windrush scandal is and was. What do we think is going to happen next?
Well, they're paying compensation, as if that's going to just sweep it under the rug.
But I think someone made the point today, but they also said that about Grenfell, and a lot of that's still to come. So
I think it's just kind of, you look at it and you go, oh, if this is probably the front end of, you see all those policies which were put in kind of maybe 5-10 years ago. Mm. You go, I don't think this is going to be an isolated case where they come to fruition. So we'll probably see more in the next couple of years. If it's not Windrush things, there'll be other elements where the immigration policy really starts to take bite.
Yeah, I guess in the same way, it took a long time for Labour's sort of quite loose economic policy to really cause problems.
Yeah. If you've got just like short-term policies which are aiming for kind of very like figure-based results, and that didn't happen, you're probably going to see a kick on in the next few years after it. So that's going to be fun.
Okay, as the country just gets more and more depressing.
But sunny.
Sunny too, yeah. So
keep being that depressed when it's hot?
That's definitely not an example of short-term thinking.
No. My short-term thinking is, as long as it doesn't rain this evening, I'm a happy guy.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you for helping me navigate the facts. Task Force. I've had a call.
Oh, yeah?
From, as Lauren and I were discussing earlier this week, the UK's greatest living French resident of the UK. I don't know why we...
Jean-Pierre White?
Well, it's very hard because we could only come up with two others.
Raymond Blanc.
And Gerard Depardieu.
Oh.
Who may or may not live in the UK. We were just, by that point, thinking of...
Did we have another one?
Maybe the... Another chef.
Or Michelle French ambassador.
Roux.
Michelle Roux.
But no, I haven't been called by like a contingent of the French chefs of the UK. I've been called by Arsene Wenger.
Ooh.
Yeah. Are you familiar with his work?
I am, yeah.
So he called me, I'm not going to do a French accent, but he was...
That's good. just a little bit.
He was like, Rory, I've quit this week. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean you've quit? What have you quit? And he said, apparently he was the manager of Arsenal for about 20 odd years.
Isn't it weird that he's called Arsene and they're called Arsenal?
It was meant to be.
It's unbelievable that happened.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I've never tired of that. Every time I think about it, I'm like, that is good.
Yeah.
I wish that could happen in every scenario. Everyone worked for something that was to do with their name.
I just think it writes itself, doesn't it?
History. So he called me and he says he's quit, and I said, what, you've quit? And he said, it turns out that, yeah, he worked at this football club. And I said, well, what are you going to do next? And he said, well, never mind that. This is exactly how the dialogue...
He patted back the yeah. question there, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a busy man.
If he's here with the Clegg conversation, you're going to get nothing out of him. Yeah.
So he's leaving next month. His last game's going to be in like two more games.
Yeah.
And he wants me to look after the club and manage be the interim manager until they work out who else to...
So he doesn't want to work out his notice?
Well, no, but apparently he's just like, that was his deal, quit with a couple of weeks' notice. They're dragging their heels, they don't know who's going to replace him. And he said, well, don't worry, I'll call Rory, because...
Right, yeah.
Rory's quick on his feet. And...
Yeah, right, you know that the football managers don't play football. No need to be quick.
Yeah, I meant quick on his feet, as in like
quick thinking.
Oh, that right. phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a phrase, isn't it?
About or dancer. It's what, quick on your feet?
Quick like a cat.
Quick. Reflexes like a cat.
Yes. Anyway, that's more goalkeepers.
Anyway, he's listened to Task Force and he thinks Rory can handle big problems like bringing back Jesus, so surely he can manage Arsenal.
Yeah.
I forgot that you brought back Jesus.
Yeah, it's smooth.
Smooth. Good transition.
Yeah. And so what is so what's this football all about then?
Sorry? What's this football all about then? is a great question of someone clearly very well versed in football.
I went to the football with you once, actually.
You did, yes.
And I mainly spent most of my time in the gift shop with Lauren, actually, buying scarves.
I wouldn't count that as the football.
Really?
Well, we went to Dulwich Hamlets.
Right, so not...
That's not football as Arsenal play it.
Oh,
you saying Arsenal play it better?
Well, they play it on a very different scale.
Yeah. I mean, Rory,
so if your only experience of the football...
Yeah.
It's weird, this, because, yeah, you've done some big tasks in the past, and yet I think this is the one where you're most out of your depth.
This is my greatest challenge yet. Well, this is why I need you two to help me in, like, and be, like, my...
So, Arsene Wenger's been there for, yeah, over 20 years. I think it's 22 seasons.
Years.
Yeah. There was a player scored... Alex Iwobi, who scored earlier this season, was the first player who scored for Arsenal who hadn't been born when Arsene Wenger took that job.
That's
which kind of gives you the scale of it. And wow. He's won 3 Premier League titles. He's won like multiple FA Cups.
They had an unbeaten season in 1998. Yeah. They didn't lose a game.
The Invincible season, 2003-04. It's been great. But the club recently... a lot of the fans are kind of saying, we need a change because they haven't been winning titles as regularly as they used to do. And lots of these grown men who should know better have been making big banners saying Wenger out because they want their control of their football club back and they want to get new people in.
Yeah.
But it's incredible to have that kind of stability in football managers because it's such big, like, multi-billion dollar business that a lot of the owners just want profit. But the Arsenal managers... the Arsenal owners have actually liked Arsene Wenger because they built a new stadium and gave him a much reduced transfer budget. So they've actually not been running at a huge loss. Right. Lots of these football clubs just have huge amounts of debt. And then it gets sold to an owner who buys up the debt. But Arsenal have actually managed to avoid quite a lot of it. So the owners have loved him, and that's why they haven't got rid of him for like 20 years. Because he's actually been able to run it as a business whilst also getting results.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy. But then lots of these kind of spoiled Arsenal fans are like, no, we want someone new in.
Well, they should be careful what they wish for.
Exactly, because when Man United got rid of... Well, when Alex Ferguson retired, who'd been there for 20-odd years, they then got a series of managers who fucked it.
Did they let any other podcast hosts with no other experience?
Well, they didn't give you a call. They would have been fine.
Strange, that.
I don't think I was in this game, this Task Force game, when Alex Ferguson quit.
No, I don't think you
were. It's a shame. It's a shame, because I'd like to have a bit of practice for this one.
Mm. Do you know who politically is a big fan of Arsenal?
Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, season ticket holder.
Is he?
Yeah, he loves Arsenal. Yeah, he is, yeah.
It's good because it's red, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. His favourite pub is around the corner. It's the communist pub. I can't remember what it's called. It's got big pictures of Che Guevara on the wall, and it's like a South American pub. I can't think it's going to annoy me that
much. Is it a Mexican restaurant?
No, it's not, but I have been there, and they were holding a raffle, and one of the prizes was, I think it was like... a signed Arsenal shirt or something signed by him and Diane Abbott, which everyone asked for Christmas.
Everyone's queuing for. Really saved the pub, that auction.
Yeah, wow. Cash only, obviously.
So I need you both to sort of come with me, and you'll be there. I'll stand there in the big coat, and you'll have the two.
It's got a great coat. That's the best thing about Arsene Wenger. He's got this big sleeping bag coat. I thought he was going to manage there until he died. And then they'd just find him in the dugout,
and they'd kind of
asleep,
up.
And they'd just, close his eyes, zip him up, and then bury him on the pitch.
Easy.
Yeah.
But no, he's left with dignity, and I need to sort of I need a strategy, and I've only got two words in my strategy.
Yes.
Beginner's luck.
Okay.
Good.
That's
as good a starting point as any, yes.
I think it'd be good for us to know what you want to achieve here.
Well, we need to win all the rest of the games. How many more games are there?
So are you just taking over from now? Are you just doing the last 2 weeks?
Just
until... You'd have to see them through till August.
When's the end of the league?
May, but then in August it starts again, so they have to do pre-season before.
Okay, I need to get the house in order before the summer then. I'm just doing it over the summer.
But
you've got 2 weeks then.
He'll be there till the end of the season, so they'll start to conduct. So there won't be that really a need for an interim period.
You're saying this, I'm not going to get much.
Saying you're probably not going to actually be in control of anything.
That's why I was trying to ask, is he trying to exit early rather than work out? Then you said, no, you'll do his notice. Like, well, there's no need for you. You fixed the problem.
Yeah, you don't need an interim manager between someone finishing their job and someone starting it.
What if it takes too long? Then I end up sort of helping them. When does the league start again?
August.
Oh, yeah, August comes around very quickly.
But there won't be any games for you to manage, so it would just be kind of doing admin.
Well, no, I need to get
and pre-season training when they all go to Dubai.
Who do I need to fire?
Make them run around cones. You don't need to fire anyone.
Why not? Surely
that's been done in January. They mix up the team in January. Yeah. If one comes in or doesn't.
And then in the summer you can buy some new players if you want.
Sounds like he's wasting my time with this. So what, I'm just there over the... I mean, what if I'm still doing it in September then? What do I do?
If you're still doing it in September, I think everyone at Arsenal Football Club will be quite concerned. And that is said with love.
Why don't we pick more things that we can do to see him out so that he's remembered in the way that he should be?
Yes.
Whilst you pick up the reins and like you start to organise the pre-season, we can make, the end of season bash.
We can make the biggest sleeping bag, Guinness World Records sleeping bag. You can get all the players inside it for a photo. That'd be a nice gift to give to him.
Is this okay, as a send-off.
Yeah.
As a send-off present, just a knitted... like.
Also, what could he do after? He could be in a Wenger Boys tribute band called the Wenger Boys.
Like, you guys are basically task forcing by task force going, Rory doesn't understand anything about football.
Yes. But we do know that you can throw a good party.
Yeah, I can.
End of season bash.
So I probably am the person to arrange this party.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be the manager and good at one thing, it's going to be hosting the end of season party.
Mm. Weird, weird end of year party.
So, yeah, everyone has to come dressed as Arsene Wenger.
Okay, maybe you just hand out coats.
Yeah, coats and masks. And then what happens at a testimonial? Is that a thing?
Yeah, so that's... Well, that's usually for players.
Yeah.
It used to be... that they use it in sport so that when you're going into retirement, it'll be a kind of fundraiser for that person going. So people buy tickets.
Like This Is Your Life, Big Red Book moment.
Yes. So you'd invite lots of players that you played with in your past and you'd play a big game of football, people buy tickets, and you get the ticket money and you kind of use that for your retirement.
Yeah.
Now it's more that it's just kind of like a fundraiser for the club or whatever.
Right.
So when you retire, you get to have one last game at your biggest club. But obviously, Arsene Wenger is a manager, so probably won't have a testimonial.
But didn't Alan Ferguson
People won't kind of come just to kind of see him sat in a seat at the side going, oh, I can't believe we never get to see him sit in the seat again.
I thought Ferguson had one and it was like all the footballers that I'd ever heard of playing in it. It was like It was like Beckham and Giggs and all the other ones.
Nice.
Right, did you just watch like a BBC tribute?
Yeah.
I've just been watching Britain. I accidentally flicked onto Britain's Sporting Personality of the Year or whatever. And then...
Yeah, Alex Ferguson can't win Sporting Personality of the Year though.
Does that mean I can't either?
No.
You can win manager.
Right.
No, it's like a coach of the year.
And when's that decided? Because is that decided after May?
Or are you thinking that you might host it? Or
he wants to enter. It?
Yeah, you want to enter it?
Well, yeah, if Arsenal win.
But it's already pretty much decided whether or not Arsenal can win.
Yeah, Man City are already champions. They won the league last week. They can win the Europa Cup. So that's one thing that Arsenal can
thankless.
Do. Yeah. And
is
also
Europa
less
Cup than not the...
not the Champions League.
Champions League. So the next
one
eight,
the
4-8, 5-8.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
This will be my greatest challenge. So what, we're not even going to win this thing.
We can't win it now.
Can't win.
I think the biggest task...
But not even by hook or by crook?
No, not even...
No, the biggest. I think the biggest task for you, Rory, is actually identifying what the task is.
It's throw the end of season party.
Yes.
And all the
you
tributes.
You can do that. You can give funny awards.
And
like
I think
best haircut.
Britain's longest and best loved French resident is a good one that we gave him accidentally on Friday night.
Yeah. So
you think that is a good one?
French canapés.
E.g.
Escargot?
Yeah. Escargot. Little croque monsieur.
Yeah, very good.
Le petit croque monsieur.
And just croissant dust.
Mm. Croissant dust.
You can't have a whole croissant as a...
You could have croissant flavour with bacon.
And you can't have it. You can't even have a little one as a canapé because it would all be so crumbly.
You could have just like a little splodge of chocolate from the middle of a croissant with croissant dust on it.
Oh,
pan of chocolate without the pan.
Well, yes. The pan is the dust.
A pan of chocolate without the pain.
Chocolate sans pan.
What else is French? Cheese?
Yeah.
Have some cheese. You can get famous French chefs to serve the food.
That's a good idea.
So, but we can only think of three. So Gerard
Michel Roux, you'll go.
Gerard Depardieu can be very busy.
Yes.
Busy on this night. Okay, so I've organised the party. And then, so in the summer, what does the manager do?
That's their holidays. They have holidays like school.
No, I thought...
Do all the marking, planning for next year.
Surely everyone has to keep in shape. And
yeah, they do pre-season training. That's what they all go to Dubai for.
Okay.
You know when you see like the whole England team or the whole Arsenal team get on a bus They get on, like, it looks like they're going on a school trip and they're all wearing matching kit.
And do I get to go?
Yeah, you'd go on that.
And some people have said in
this
the past,
is why he's thought of you.
Yeah. Some people have said in the past that it's probably better to fly, but getting a bus to Dubai takes up most of the
time. No, they get a bus to the airport.
It's a real test of his spirit, that bus.
just doing a coach tour. I'd like that. Oh, perhaps that's what Arsene Wenger's going to do now, just going through France. He'll just do coach tours.
Yeah, just being an
he can replace that, the one that's run it since we were at uni, coach trip.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
I've never
Brendan.
He can be
that
the
would
new...
be great if just like ex Premier League managers or kind of people in the spotlight when they retire just started doing those reality TV. If he did Come Dine With Me, yeah. I bet he'd be good.
Would he?
I don't know. Sleeping bags were wrong.
I think he lives a fairly football focused life. Like, you don't hear about him doing much else.
Mm. True.
So I mean, that's big shoes I've got to step into because I do a lot.
Big sleeping bag.
Yeah.
I do a lot else apart from football.
Yeah. In fact, football, everything else.
Football is a near.
You do a lot else apart from football. Very nice.
And also, you live in South London, so it's going to be
a
nightmare.
What a commute. Yeah.
Oh yeah. None of us have thought about it.
Do you want to live on the highway road?
Hang on, you can get round to Highbury Niz.
There's a direct line from Peckham, so yeah. we'll be all right.
First things first, direct train.
Can I get into work?
Well, so what do I need to do to make them win next year then?
Just throw the party of your lifetime.
Really?
Give them a big bash.
What Rory. Like the standout
you're
moments.
Really not trusting me with this whole managing thing. Every time I'm like, I want to get involved in the football team.
Why don't we do the party so mm-hmm. it's sort of like a wander through. Like the thing that he's most famous for is the 22 years, sure.
Yeah.
And being French, which we've managed to go over quite in quite a lot of depth.
Yeah.
So the 22 years, it's almost like we do on the 22nd of May.
Of the 22nd month.
No, just the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
And the theme is...
It's the 22nd of today. It's, you know what I mean? April.
It's 22nd of April today. Yeah, exactly. So you've got 1 month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 month to throw a themed party of the last 22 years.
Starts at 10 o'clock.
Because...
22 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite late.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have dinner first.
Got a lot to cover. Right, so the themed portion starts at 10 p.m. Yes. Right, okay, fine. So you have a normal garden party, canapes, probably, I'm picturing it in the Emirates, because that's the only place that is. It's on the lawn.
We're going to keep the budget
on
down.
The lawn. I love that.
Yeah.
Like I like imagining it as a lawn.
Yeah. So on the lawn, canapes, all the footballers that have ever played for him, everyone who's ever played for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Obviously.
All the big names.
Throw out some kind of casual big invites to
Corbyn and Obama.
Yep, Obama. Yeah. I was thinking more Alex Ferguson, that sort of.
Yes.
Get them all down. Mm. They'll be up for him.
Yeah.
And then you have a dinner, and everyone thinks, oh, you know, like that's what he wanted. He wanted a dinner, French themed. We could. That's where we throw it in.
Yeah.
Cooked by Raymond Blanc.
Yep.
10 p.m. The clock strikes 22.
Yes.
And then we get a This Is Your Life. Montage through the last 22 years, but obviously you cannot do the all 22 years, so we just focus on the standout moments from the last 22 years. Now I'm going to
love it.
It could be done through sort of like local children bringing bits of it to life through pantomime.
This sounds like it could be something to rival the 2012 London Olympics opening ceremony.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's
that
exactly
would
what I'm
be
picturing.
So good.
The key bit for me is someone, I think Fabregas, threw a pizza in the tunnel.
Yes, there was that. Yeah, nice.
Did that happen this year
at Old Trafford?
Are we going to throw back all the way to that?
No, it was more recent than that. So basically, we'll obviously do like, what's the unbeaten season? So there's 98 where they won.
Yeah.
And that's just after he started, or a year after he started.
Yeah.
Then there's 03-04, which is the unbeaten.
Yeah, the Invincibles, yeah.
There you go. And then pick a few more.
Yeah, of course.
Just
there'll be some in the FA Cups recently.
Yeah, they did quite well for a bit.
They've done incredibly well.
Yeah, I mean, we're a good team, we're a strong team. And
at what bit does the Queen parachute into the stadium?
We'll see if she's busy. She's a little bit older than she was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe that's... 92. Corbyn's not invited until he parachutes in.
Yeah.
That would be good.
What are the famous... Who are the other famous Arsenal fans?
I don't know, to be honest.
I'll get them all on the list. We're running out of time somehow, considering we didn't even get onto the bit where I get to manage the winning football team next year, next season.
I want to manage the winning football team.
So, to be continued, I'm going to draw up some notes, but I feel like you two don't trust me with this whole football malarkey.
Bloody Prince Harry's an Arsenal fan!
Is he?
Jay-Z, Prince Harry.
Jay-Z!
Jay-Z can definitely come.
Yes.
This is turning into something... Mick Jagger!
What a party.
I'm the Queen!
The Queen.
I really want this party to happen.
Clear the calendar, the party's happening. So anyone from Arsenal?
22nd of May.
Honourable mentions of famous Arsenal fans go to Spike Lee, Fidel Castro, Matt Damon, Dido and Diego Maradona. Wow. Get them all down.
Matt Damon.
We can definitely get Dido to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Fidel? Not doing anything else. So Fidel, just the lineup for even just like the musical guests, the lineup is the Stones, Jay-Z and Dido.
Oh, I hope Dido's opening.
And if there's one thing you can do, it's music.
Yeah, it's true. I'll make a great playlist.
But you do lots else.
Yeah, lots else.
Lots else, not football.
Well, thank you both for helping me plan the party of the year, if not the party of the century.
Let's just hope they've got someone in mind to step quite quickly into his shoe.
Quiz? It'll create a positive atmosphere and then everyone will win and then they'll be like, Rory can stay as manager.
Yeah. Sensational. Yeah, you're right.
Right. But thanks. Quiz. So, the quiz every week, I'm going to ask you some questions. Every week I ask you guys some questions about the biggest sort of non-issues of the week. And I've got more. So, if you know the answer, say your name. We'll see what happens. Question number one. Which pop star won China's version of The X Factor this week?
What?
Pop star we've heard of?
Yeah, so a very famous pop star, a fairly famous pop star, went to China and took part in like their version of like The Voice or The X Factor or whatever and won it.
That's surely cheating. Because I thought you weren't allowed to enter if you've already had a record deal.
I think there's a slightly different. I think it's called like Singer 2018 or whatever. So it's not like a carbon copy.
Right.
I honestly have no idea.
She's out of the spotlight now, and I've just given you the gender.
She.
Alexander Burke.
No, but
she's in the West End.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't need Chinese X Factor.
We keep Alexandra Burke where we can see her. She's in the West End.
What's the insinuation with that?
She's trouble.
She caused a lot of trouble on Strictly.
Huh? Did she?
She was a diva, wasn't she?
Real diva. Mainly because Gemma, the fit one from Hollyoaks.
Yep.
No, you know her.
I remember.
Yeah. She started going out with not her partner. Because usually they get together with their own couple.
Yes.
But she started going out with Alexandra's partner. Causing quite the rift. Because obviously everyone was more interested in that pairing than actually
Alexandra. I like that gossip.
Just getting the actual answer because I forgot it. Have any guesses? So you guess Alexandra Burke, you guess.
No, I guess Alexandra Burke. I'll guess it's a female who's out of the spotlight. Is she old?
No. She's like had hits in the last 5 years.
Oh, okay. Don't know.
It was Jessie J.
Oh,
Jessie J.
Jessie J went over and won. China's Got Talent or whatever.
Wow.
What a fix.
That's quite sad, isn't it?
I think it's
doing that.
It's probably quite smart, really.
Is it? I mean, wasn't she signed to Jay-Z's label for a bit?
Probably one bit. I think she's now super famous in China. So fair play to her. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Question number two. Saudi Arabia opened its first cinema in 35 years this week.
Mm-hmm.
What film did it screen?
It's almost like I didn't read any newspapers this week.
Yes.
Because I'm asking genuine questions. Mm. These are like...
Yeah. I just read the titles. damn it.
Yeah.
I just read the questions.
Read past the headlines.
So it's a big film of this year. It's joined the $1 billion grossing club this year.
Surely they've not opened in Saudi with like Black Panther or something like that.
I'm going to give you a point for Black Panther.
Yes.
Wow.
There you go.
Nice.
Point to Lauren. Question number three.
They're so tolerant over there.
Yeah, I think that's remarkable.
That is remarkable.
There you go. Question number three. What did the High Court rule that dogs can do? this week? What do they have the right to do?
Die or when they're like dignitas.
We can euthanasia dogs.
Yeah.
Dognitas.
I think
very good.
We've always that was good.
We have actually always sort of dognitas them when you just go, oh,
take them into the vet.
You can sort of can look after them, it'll be quite expensive, or we can just kill it now.
Do you have $7,000?
No. Okay. Yeah, we've always done that.
Should we give it an injection?
Yeah. Time to go to sleep now.
It's the most humane.
Oh.
Oh, that's awful.
Any clues beyond euthanasia for dogs?
Can they understand what we're saying?
This is the High Court that's ruled something.
Oh, yeah. They can get married.
They can vote?
No, they they are now,
the
they can get out of our country, is that what they're
doing? Yeah.
If they don't have their
they can access the NHS services.
Any deportation counts, and we are going to deport all of the dogs.
Deport?
You're like deport.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, wow.
Passport. You should have stopped at Dognitas.
Yes.
The
I should have stopped long before that, Rory.
They have the right to urinate on trees and lampposts.
Have they not always just been doing that willy-nilly?
Well, someone challenged it in the High Court.
Right. Why? I would have liked to see that being enforced the other way.
Imagine having so little on that you're going to the High Court to challenge that. Oh, a dog's been pissing on my lamppost outside my house.
Well, you
I'm
don't
going
own
to
the
take
lamp
to the High
post.
Court.
You don't own the lamppost, so I'll let it piss
it's
on my
it's hardly like, yeah. Did you see the film Loving? About, it was the...
About this?
No, about but it was like them going to... There were a biracial couple in the 60s in the US and it went all the way to High Court so they could marry and live together in Mississippi. That seems like a good thing to take to the highest court
good
of the land.
To escalate.
Dogs pissing on a lamppost. Do something else.
At what point?
There's lots of things that we need to address first before we get down to that. It's not as if society is perfect.
If you're the sort of person who's got the inclination to really pick a battle and really take it and run with it, can I give you the plight of Windrush?
Exactly. I love the fact that you've got some get up and go.
Yeah.
Lots of people just wouldn't want to go and fight a high court battle. Do it something else. You've done the right thing, but you fought the wrong cause.
Yeah, totally. You've got potential. I'll have you come help me land a Jarson.
Yeah, get that just first signing. Get me the guy who tried to get dogs prosecuted for pissing on lampposts.
Yeah, the guy who smells of dog piss.
That's it. Here's the half-time entertainment.
Question number four. What can Pret a Manger no longer say about its sandwiches?
That they're made on site.
No.
That they're... All 100% organic.
Close, mate. Any advance on the word organic?
What does it say on the box? It says it's all 100% organic, made on site that day.
Grown
British
in Britain?
Grown.
British?
It's the word natural.
And
that's called their sandwiches natural.
They've got some sweet GM in there, have they?
Yeah, they've got some additives in their bread.
Nice.
Some campaigners who clearly think the world's perfect. This is part of the Real Bread campaign.
Yeah, right, Real Bread campaign.
Yeah. Big one.
They're pushing for the truth.
I want my lamppost clean and I want my bread real.
Final question. According to...
Where's the Metro segment?
This is it.
Oh,
according
okay.
to
yes.
According to
Sex
Love
Toys,
Honey,
here we go.
We've featured Love Honey many times before. They're sort of a sex toy brand who do a lot of very useful research out on the street with UK citizens. which town, according to this survey, which town in the UK is most satisfied when it comes to having sex? Who's the best at sex in the country?
Manchester?
It's more a town than a city, but it is up north.
Warrington.
It's in Yorkshire.
Harrogate.
No.
Rotherham.
No.
Ilkley.
York. No.
Begins with a D.
Doncaster.
It's Doncaster.
Oh.
Doncaster are the most sexually satisfied.
I mean, there's fuck all else to do in Doncaster. Yeah. So. Have you been?
But passed through.
Yeah.
And I mean, fair play to the people of Doncaster.
That's great. What an accolade
they
for them.
Don't do much else but shagging.
Mm. And they do it bloody well.
Bloody well. One thing well.
Wonder what Tinder's like in Doncaster.
Yeah, just on fire.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, congratulations to the people of Doncaster and congratulations to Lauren for winning.
Yeah.
With a whole 2 points. a big win by our standards. That's all we've got time for on this week's edition of This Might Be The News. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, listeners, as always, for joining us.